Morning, friends. It's certainly a pleasure to be coming your way once again with the short gospel message from the Word of the Lord. I'd like to begin today with Acts, the 17th chapter and verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being." What a wonderful scripture we have here, and there are so many truths involved. The primary thing I believe that we should notice is the fact that God is the God of all the world. He is the creator, and he made all of us, and he gives us life and breath and all that we have. And he doesn't need in a material or financial way or anything of the kind what we can give him to satisfy his needs, because he is the giver of all things. But on the other hand, we find people who bow down and worship all sorts of gods today, the gods of this world. I wonder today how many thousands of people are bowing down to gods of silver, gold, stone, and wood. And dear ones of you, all of us who know the truth, it's our responsibility to see that they know that the God of heaven is not a God of gold and silver and stone, but he's the one that gives us life and breath and all the good things that we have to enjoy. But think of all those images set up to represent different gods of this world, and people with aching hearts are praying to them without results. Mothers and fathers with broken hearts are praying for deliverance, but no relief is in sight. Why? Because they're bowing down to gods which neither see nor hear their prayers. Young people are going astray. Many today are on drugs and alcohol and various things which produce such evil results in their lives. And yet, they don't know the true God. Then there are the multitudes of those who have made the pleasures of this world their God. Did you know this is idolatry also? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. The Bible speaks contrary to this way of thinking. God wants folks to serve him with spirit and in truth and from the depths of their heart. But going back to a few thoughts here concerning the idol, I'd like for you to consider something. Now, of course, in this land of ours, we think of folks who worship the true God. But did you know there are many, many thousands of people who don't know the true God nor have the opportunity to hear the gospel as we have it, and they bow down to idols? Consider the difference between an idol and the true God. We're speaking now of, a wooden idol. One, it was once alive as a tree but is dead. Two, it was made by man. Three, it cannot think. Four, it cannot talk. Five, it must be carried. Six, it is destructible. Then, on the other hand, consider the Lord and his mighty power in contrast to this idol of wood. One, he is the source of life and lives forevermore. Two, he is uncreated, but created all things. And sometimes I marvel at the research which scientists try to do. They try to find out how did the world come into existence? How did we get here and all this sort of thing? You know, the very simple, plain answer to this question, God created us. 3, God is all-knowing. 4, God is the eternal Word. 5, God sustains the world. 6, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. Then, on the other hand, did you know that Christ, in fact, that's what one of those scriptures tell us about Jesus Christ, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But did you know that Christ died for all, for every human soul that lightens the world, whose light they see in this world as they come into the world? He died for them. But for some, he died in vain, and this is a tragic part of it all. Suppose I was walking down the street of one of our large cities. Now, we're just supposing. And with me was the president of, we'll say, Procter & Gamble Soap Manufacturing Company. That's a large company and is well known. I don't know this president's name, and I don't suppose he knows mine, but just suppose this was the case. All right. In this environment of the underworld, with all the robbings and beatings which take place, Mr. Procter & Gamble, we'll call him, might say to me, if this gospel which you tell about is so powerful to save and change the lives of people, then why are not these folks transformed? You see, there would be all the wickedness going on. And he would continue with words like this, is the gospel not effective in their case? Well, what could I say? Perhaps he would think, surely this is a fault of the teachings of the Word. Does it really clean up the lives of folks? But as we walked on for a while, we would come to a group of poorly clad and dirty people there in the street. They would be in need of a bath with plenty of soap and water. Would it be fair for me to say to Mr. Procter & Gamble, how about these folks being so dirty? Is your soap not good enough to clean them up and cause them to look better than this? Then, no doubt, he would see the point that it is not the fault of the soap that people are dirty. The soap that they manufacture would just clean them up and they could be scrubbed up and polished and shining. But they must first give it a chance if they would be clean. And so it is with the truth. Folks could go and say, well, I don't believe that the gospel will do anything for me. Well, no, not really. Unless you try it, unless you give it a chance to work in your life, the best proof of what the Lord can do is found in the lives of those who have tried and proven the words of the Lord. They've repented and God has cleaned them up. This will include spirit, soul, and body. It is the sure cure for the drug addict, the alcoholic, and the thief. Oh, for a cleansing in the hearts of the men and women of our day. It isn't the laws which are going to transform their lives, but it's the Word of God coming into their hearts. One scripture says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Isaiah 1:18-20. And so it is, dear ones. It is only those folks who get in the inner circle of God's grace who can really taste and know the sweetness of His saving power. It is reported that Charles Spurgeon used to tell of a man who had an orchard of delicious apples with which he was quite generous. In spite of this, there were always a few invaders who in hours of darkness would undertake to carry away his fruit. One of his friends, who had been made welcome, tasted the fruit in the landlord's absence and reported his disappointment. Said he, I never tasted anything so sour in all my life. the landlord explained that he had purposely planted sour apples around the edge of the orchard for people who invaded his premises. The sweet ones were all inside. And so it is, dear ones, the sweetness comes from knowing the Lord as a personal Savior. I must have the Savior with me, for I dare not walk alone. I must feel His presence near me and His arm around me thrown. Then my soul shall fear no ill. Let Him lead me where He will. I will go without a murmur, and His footsteps follow still. I must have the Savior with me, for my faith at best is weak. He can whisper words of comfort that no other voice can speak.
It will matter but little what we have passed through. When the shades of the valley at sunset we view, whether small and unknown or a king on some throne, it will matter but little. Our lives with the Savior been cast, whether we're trusting Him for salvation is the thing that will matter at last. It will matter but little what we have passed through. When the shades of the valley sunset review, whether small and unknown or a king on some throne, it will matter that little at last.
Do you recognize those voices of Brother and Sister Stover? Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying God bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.